يا ربي لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا ما رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا، ولك الحمد أبدا أبدا أبدا. والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد: أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم يعقلون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's khutbah, I'd like to share with you obviously a lesson from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, but also an appreciation of how beautifully Allah Azza wa Jal constructs an argument, how Allah Azza wa Jal makes a point and how beautifully He articulates His point, how one thing leads into another, so we can understand what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in the most profound kind of way. Allah Azza wa Jal, in this passage that I've chosen, He begins, or this selection at least, it begins with an ayah that deals with the creation around us. And Allah Azza wa Jal highlights it. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Certainly, especially in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the succession and the alternation between night and day, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي بِالْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. And the ships that sail in the ocean, that by which people are benefited. And then وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. First of all, that He spread out on the land all kinds of beasts, all kinds of animals, all kinds of creatures. And then He speaks of the winds that flow and they move in different directions. وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ. And then He speaks of the clouds that are hanging in the middle of the sky and the earth. وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In all of that, there is لآياتٍ. There are miraculous signs. There are things for us to reflect upon, things that lead to a certain conclusion. And He adds a condition, a disclaimer at the end, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. For a people that seek to understand, that apply their intellect, that use their aql, basically. And you know, all of us, alhamdulillah, we're educated in one way or the other. We are skilled in our fields. We apply our intellect all the time. We're thinking all the time, whether we're thinking about money, or we're thinking about our job, or business, or whatever, or studies. We're always using our intellect. But Allah Azza wa Jal in this ayah is telling us to channel our intellect, our ability to think and analyze, and actually take some time away from business, some time away from all the other things that we think about, and just think about the sky. Just think about the earth. Just think about the creatures that walk the earth, and how profound a gift they are from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the first thing, the argument that is constructed here for the recognition and appreciation of Allah, is that we reflect and we think. And thinking is obviously an intellectual exercise. It's something you do in your mind. And the next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal switches gear. He changes the subject from thinking to something else. And he says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Among the people, even among the people, there are some who take besides Allah, they take competitors besides Allah, loving them as they should be loving Allah. The first ayah was about thinking, and the next ayah is about loving. Loving Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because when somebody reflects and truly thinks about where they're, what they're doing in life, you and I, we think about our children all the time. We think about our savings, about payments we have to make at the end of every month. We think about promotion at work or how to expand the business. We think about these things. But when Allah channels our thinking and makes us think about bigger things, why am I here? What is success? Is success that I make more money, or is success something else? What is good for my family? That I buy them more things, or is there something else that will make them successful? What am I trying to save myself from? Where is my life headed? What am I going to do? What legacy am I going to leave behind that will be a successful legacy, as opposed to a legacy of failure? When we think about these bigger things and we reflect, we realize that Allah Azza wa Jal has gifted us with the blessing of iman, with the blessing of getting to know Him and the guidance that He gave to us, with which we can channel our life in a better direction, in a direction that actually leads to the proper success. And so once you know Allah intellectually, the natural consequence is you must love Allah. Knowing Allah leads to loving Allah, if you truly know Allah Azza wa Jal. There are people you will find in other faiths that complain about God. Why is God doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Why did God make me get into an accident? Why did God make me lose my son or my daughter or my father or my mother? They question Allah. That is because they don't truly know Allah yet. If they truly knew Allah, there would be no questioning of Allah Azza wa Jal. There would only be love and tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal. So he speaks of people that set partners besides Allah, competitors besides Allah. But this is not competitors in ibadah. This is very interesting in the next ayah, which is an ayah about shirk, really. Allah did not talk about people who pray to others besides Allah. He talked about people who love others besides Allah. Who love others besides Allah. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love them as though they should be loving Allah. This is a very particular brand of shirk. The shirk, the association in the love of Allah. All of us have love of things. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love myself to a great extent. We beautify ourselves. It's an expression of a love we have for ourselves. We love our cars. We customize them the way we want. We love our homes. We get matching furniture with the curtains and the carpet because we love our homes. These are expressions of our love. But Allah Azza wa Jal is taking all of the things that we love and putting them on one side of the scale, as He does in Surah At-Tawbah. And at the end of that scale, which is not the core subject of today's discussion, He says, أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. If all of those things that you love are more beloved to you than Allah, His Messenger, and struggling in His path, then you just have to wait. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Until Allah comes with His decision. So this is a very particular brand of shirk that people have sometimes in their hearts, even though they pray to Allah, even though they believe in Allah, even though they go and make hajj to Allah's house, even though they hear for every Friday prayer, but they may be doing shirk not in ibadah, but in love to Allah. They may love something else more. And so today, as we read the following arguments and the ayat that follow this, we will begin to understand how practically you and I can gauge for ourselves who we truly love. Practically in our lives, is this shirk present in my life or no? So Allah Azza wa Jal, in the end of this ayah, there's great anger. Because He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ. You know, the people who truly have iman, He says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They are intense. They're incredibly severe, strong in their love for Allah. They have a passionate, burning love for Allah. And then He speaks about the people who don't. And He doesn't call them people who don't love Allah. Rather, He says those who committed ظلم. What's going to happen? Just imagine when those people that committed this injustice, this wrongdoing, when they're going to be looking at the punishment. إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ. Now why didn't he say, you know, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. How come he said, those who commit dhulm, those who do wrong are going to see the punishment. The ayah is talking about shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal, not dhulm. But we learn from the advice that Luqman gave to his son, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is the ultimate injustice. It is a profound wrongdoing. So Allah speaks about these people who put their love in the wrong place, as people who committed a great wrong, and what's going to happen to them when they're looking at the punishment. And then they realize, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. That power only belongs with Allah. And Allah mentions His power as an expression of His anger in this ayah. May Allah protect us from His anger. أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And that Allah is severe and intense in taking His revenge. Now that this precedent has been established, the first ayah we talked about dealt with intellectually realizing the favors of Allah, using the aql, and then having the love of Allah in your hearts. That was the next ayah. And now we see what Allah Azza wa Jal says. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. This is a profound gauge, a meter, by which you and I can check if we have the love of Allah or love of something else. And to understand this ayah, I want to give you a little bit of an introduction. You know, all of us, human beings generally, we have a need to associate ourselves with someone, a group, or a society, or a clique. Even in high school, you have kids that are, you know, gothic or hip-hop or whatever else, right? They dress a certain way, they talk a certain way, they associate themselves in certain circles. When you become professionals, maybe your circle of friends is all doctors because you're a doctor, or they're all accountants because you're an accountant, or they're all programmers because you're a programmer. Or we have other sorts of affiliations by ethnicity. So you're all, you know, all your friends are Pakistani because you're Pakistani, or they're Bangladeshi because you're Bangladeshi, or they're Egyptian because you're Egyptian. We make friends by association of profession, or by common interest, or by race, or by language. We have a need to affiliate, to know, get to know one another, and to be, you know, organized in these different social circles. And every social circle has its own standards. It has certain expectations. And what ends up happening sometimes, and by the way, the biggest circle we are part of, obviously, is our families. And in every circle, there are certain standards, and sometimes these standards, these expectations, they go against, and they contradict the deen of Allah. So for example, in some families, there's a pressure on you to, you know, buy a house. Because your brother bought a house. Because your cousin also bought a house. Because your, you know, your distant cousin also bought a house. And your uncle also bought a house. But you can't afford a house. And everybody in your family, every time they meet you, what are they telling you? You need to buy a house. Look at your brother. Look at your cousin. Your circle of friends, among them, there are three or four of them that got into a business. All the pressure is on you now to do what? Get into the same business. They made so much money off of it, why can't you? The question of whether it's halal or haram starts to disappear. That question starts to disappear. The only thing that you keep hearing over and over again, hey, they're doing it too. Look, they did okay too. And they got it done too. And then this happens among Muslim community, in the Muslim community, even in religious families, especially when it comes to our weddings. You know, our weddings, the wedding, the nikah, is an act of ibadah. It is a following of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You make 2 rak'at nafil, that is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's an act of ibadah, right? You give sadaqah, it's an act of ibadah. When you do nikah, it is also an act of ibadah. Can you imagine hiring a DJ at an act of ibadah? Or having a party at the act of ibadah where men and women are dancing together? But we do it. Why do we do it though? You will ask the people that do it, they say, I know it's wrong. But you see, if we don't do it, they're not gonna come. Or those people are gonna say, what kind of wedding was this? It was held at a masjid. What kind of, you know, you people didn't even order 12 different kinds of food. So people will go into debt on their credit cards to hold off a very, very, you know, elaborate wedding just because they want people not to say anything. Because they're part of a circle and there's a certain standard in that circle. And you want to uphold that standard. So we, instead of living for ourselves and living really for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, we start living for the expectation of others. This starts happening. We develop this love of our reputation. What are people gonna say? What are they going to say? What are they going to say? So even if you tell your family this is wrong, they'll say, we know it's wrong, but that doesn't matter. This is how we do things. This is what is expected of us. Everybody does it. You can't stop the world from being the way it is. So now Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of the people who have this love of keeping their reputation. This love of being affiliated in their circles and not being cut off. Because when you start to stick to the legacy of the Prophet ﷺ, the legacy of this deen, the legacy of simplicity, the legacy of staying within your means, when you start to stick to that legacy, then the people around you start cutting themselves off from you. You don't fit in anymore. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He speaks about the people who followed these trends. And He says, اِتَّبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. The people who used to be followed, the people who were trendsetters, the people that everybody looked up to and said, we want to be like them, we want to do what they do. When those people that set the trends for everybody else, when they are going to be disassociating themselves with everyone who used to follow them. اِتَّبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. Those who used to be followed, when they are going to be disconnecting themselves from all the people that used to follow them. So you say, hey, wait a second, I bought a house because you gave me all that advice. I did this because of you. I had the wedding for my son or my daughter in this way because you said this is the right thing to do. And now you are saying you have nothing to do with me? On the Day of Judgment, those people who you used to run after for their standards, they will be running from you. And now they're saying to Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. Even this, the person goes that far. He says, oh Allah, take everyone in the world, burn them in hell, just let me go. This is how far as he goes. Not even just the family. You know, that Allah mentions already. يَوْمَ يَفَرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ. And then, وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Take everyone, let me go. So he won't care about you and they won't care about you. So now, Allah Azza wa Jal says, اِتَّبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَهُ الْعَذَابِ. And they will all be looking at the punishment. The trendsetters and the followers. The people who caved into peer pressure, to family tradition, whatever it may have been that took them away from obedience to Allah. All of the followers and all of the leaders will be looking at the punishment. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. And back in dunya, these ties used to seem like they're made of concrete. We can never break our tradition. We can never steer away from what the family wants. We can never steer away from what the society wants from us. This is the way we are. We're part of this world after all. How many times have you heard that argument? We're living in 2008. We're living in America. These arguments, right? How can you cut yourself off? Allah says, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. Those relationships will be cut. They will be chopped off literally. قُطِعَتْ would have been cut. تَقَطَّعَتْ chopped off. Like they were never together. They were completely set apart, rendered apart. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. And then the people who used to follow others blindly. They used to follow those trends, even if they violated Allah's deen. Now they're going to cry out. And what did they say? لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. If we only had another chance. If we had a chance to go back. We would cut ourselves off from these people. We would disassociate ourselves from these people like they're doing to us today. But it's too late now. It's the Day of Judgment. So Allah says, كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. That is how Allah shows them their deeds, what they used to do. Just so they can cry over them. حَسَرَات. One حَسْرَة after another. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal could have said, حَسْرَةً عَلَيْهِمْ. Just in, you know, looking back and crying over spilt milk, crying over it, you know, whining over what the mistakes they've already made now that it's too late. But they will remember one mistake after another, and then another, and then another. I did this wrong, and this wrong, and this wrong. I followed you in this, and this, and this, and this. And this trend setting, you know, in the older generation, in the older brothers and sisters that we have in our community, they have one kind of affiliation. Our youth have another kind of affiliation. You know, our youth are obsessed with certain kinds of music, or certain kinds of culture, hip-hop gear, or whatever clothing. And they're obsessed with that stuff, and they can't cut themselves apart from it. They change the way they talk because of it. They change the way they dress because of it. But then they look back and they say, what mistakes I made? Where was I headed? So now, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. That is how Allah will show them their deeds when it's too late. So they can cry over them. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And they are not going to be ones that come out of the fire. May Allah not make us from them. But now the point of all of this. You see, the argument has been constructed. So now Allah Azza wa Jal leads to the conclusion, the climax of this argument. And He tells the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ rather. كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. O mankind, mankind, consume from what is on the earth that which is halal, permissible, طَيِّبًا, good and pure. Consume what is good and what is pure for you, what is permissible for you. Because in the end, these pressures, what do they lead us into? Into the haram. And when we compromise once, that's enough. You know, we say we believe in Allah, we're good all the time, but when the test comes, when the time comes when you're tested, you say, I just made one mistake. I mean, everything else is fine. You know, I just got into one little haram business, but at least I went to Hajj last year, or I'll go again for Umrah this year. I'll make up for it, right? But I can keep doing that because I don't want to let that go. What we think in our head is, this is like, you know, this is a deficit and you can cover it with a credit. It's like a debit on your account and you can put a credit on there and you can keep doing that. It doesn't work that way. بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Someone who earns a single sin, but they're obsessed with that sin. And then that mistake of theirs, it overwhelms them. It invades them. It's just one sin, but you're obsessed with it. You can't let it go. And you think in your head, you can pay for it by other ways, but you can't let this one sin go. Allah says about these people, that sin invades them. And they become people of the hellfire. May Allah not make us from them. So, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. I mention this because in the end, all of us have to make most of all, the most important decisions in our family are those of how we provide for our families. We have to ensure that the monies with which we provide for our families is halal. It's not just that you have to get a chicken or beef that was slaughtered properly and that's halal. But if you're buying that halal meat with haram money, then what good is it? What good is it? What's the point? In the end, we have to consume that which is halal and that which is tayyib. And that's why these two terms were used. Halal has the religious requirements, and tayyib is that which comes from a good and pure source. So our income has to be good and pure. That's one thing. The other, and the most important fitna, I think, the most common fitna, you know, occurring in Muslim households is the way Muslims gather. The kind of Islam represented in our households. The way men and women interact inside the household. The way when your cousin comes over, how casual they are with you. Or your friend and their wife come over and there's complete intermingling going on as though it happens in the houses of the non-Muslims. You know, we're losing our tradition completely. And it's not just our tradition, these are teachings of our deen. There's something beautiful in our deen about these teachings that is being lost nowadays. Because we're just too casual about it. So when time comes to hold a, you know, a aqiqah, or time comes to hold a nikah, or any kind of gathering, a walima, then you see no difference between how a Hindu family would hold their party and how a Muslim family would hold their party. And it hurts the heart of the believer. It hurts to think that though someone who fears Allah Azza wa Jal, someone who wants to be in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, has to think twice about attending their friend's wedding because they're not sure what it's going to be like. And this is a reality in the Muslim community. Why does it happen though? It happens because we are more concerned with our social reputation than we are with the love of Allah. Telling someone that this is halal and haram, by the way, will not change anything. It won't. When the Muslim commits haram, when they buy something haram, when they do something haram, when they eat something haram, don't they know it's haram? You don't have to be a scholar of Islam to know certain things are haram. You know, I had a really good friend of mine, it always reminds me of this story, a really good friend of mine in college. We lost touch after a while. I saw him, he had a really fancy car. I said, wow, mashallah, nice car. Yeah, I just got it at 3% finance. And I said, really, finance? He said, yeah. Just 3% interest. I said, don't you know that's haram? He said, yeah. I said, why'd you do it? I don't know. It was a good deal. You see, it happens sometimes. Yeah, it's haram, I know it's bad, but come on. We're in America. It happens. No big deal. It's not like I'm kafir, right? So we kind of come up with justifications. Allah is not going to punish me for this. Come on. Allah has more important people to punish, mass murderers. He's not going to come after me for this. Allah, you know, He's not concerned with me. It's too little sin. Don't you worry too much. So we become very confident that Allah is not concerned with my problem, my disobedience to Him. We forget that Allah's Messenger tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the man who engages in riba is going to be handed weapons on the Day of Judgment. Go fight with Allah. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Take the announcement, open your ears to the announcement of war against Allah and His Messenger for those who eat riba, those who consume and engage in riba, whether they're consuming it or they're paying it. Then, you know, we forget these things because, hey, you know, take it easy, relax. Why are you so uptight about these things? And that's simply because we have distanced ourselves from revelation. And the people around us tell us, no big deal. It's okay. You don't have to worry about it. And the worst thing I've ever seen, wallahi, the worst thing I've ever seen is the elder in a community telling a young person in the community, don't worry about it, I know it's haram, but you know, we're living in difficult times, it's all good. And even if it is, you can tell Allah, I told you. You can tell Allah that, you know, I told you. And Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about this in Surah Al-Ankabut. And He tells us, اتبعوا سبيلنا ولنحمل خطاياكم. Why don't you follow our way? We will carry your sins for you. وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. They're not going to be carrying anybody's sins. They're just lying. وَلَا يُخْبِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ. And they're going to be carrying their own sins, their own burden, and a burden on top of their own burden for running their mouth like that. That's what they're going to end up doing. وَلَا يُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. They're going to be interrogated about what they used to do and the things they used to say. This is not a casual thing. But the real difference between someone who will do these things and fall into peer pressure and the one who will hold themselves back is the one who loves Allah and the one who just knows about Allah. Not just knowing about Allah, knowing about the halal and haram, that's not enough. You have to have a love of Allah. Because it's only that love of Allah that will make you stop doing what the other pressures are pulling you in, that they're pulling your heart in that direction. And if the love of Allah doesn't pull you out of that direction, you're gonna fail. So Allah speaks about, when He speaks about dhulm, He speaks about the dhulm in love. يُحِبُّونَهُ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Because in the end, knowledge does not stop you from doing the haram. People know it's haram and they still do it. In the end, it is the love of Allah, the awe of Allah, the regard of Allah. That has to be built inside of us. That is the litmus test. That is the gauge. Do I love to obey Allah more? Or do I love what my family wants me to do, or my society wants me to do, or my own filth inside of me, the evil, the corruption that's inside of me, that it's dragging me in one direction. Is that stronger, or is the love of Allah in my heart stronger? So finally, Allah Azza wa Jal, He speaks about people, their common, you know, excuse. When people follow their way, even if it's wrong. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. When it is said to them, follow what Allah sent down. Follow the revelation. Follow the Qur'an. Follow the sunnah. Follow the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the ayah of the Qur'an. Why don't you listen? Don't you know that that's the case? What did they say? قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. We're going to stick with, we are going to follow vehemently what we found our forefathers doing. This is our tradition. This is how we've been doing things. We can't abandon our legacy like that. And you know, these ayat are talking about the mushrikun, right? When they were being called to tawheed, when they're being called to Islam, how long have they been worshipping idols? Their fathers were worshipping idols. Their grandfathers were worshipping idols, right? So imagine your father respects something and you disrespect it. Can you do that? Is that easy to do? No. Your grandfather had a lot of respect for something. They had a tradition, they had a culture. And now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes along and he says, leave it. Leave all of it. Now even if he has a good argument, what's the stronger argument it seems in your heart? Hey, wait a second. My father had a lot of respect for these idols. You want me to just call them shirk? And anyone who does this goes to hell? That would have to mean that I believe that my father went to hell and my grandfather went to hellfire because they worshipped these idols. I can't make that statement. It's not easy for me to do. I have an affiliation with my family. But this is the difference between the one who truly finds Allah Azza wa Jal and loves the truth, and the one who can't let go of his other affiliations, his other ties. Allah Azza wa Jal even severed the tie between Nuh alayhi salam and his son because of this truth. So where does that leave us? This is a major problem in all of our families. Illa mashaAllah. Today, as far as I know, Allah knows best, most of us are part of families in which if you are religious, you are the strange minority. You're the weird cousin. Everybody else is considered normal in your family and you're the strange one. Because you go to masjid sometimes. Or because you're concerned about not doing the haram. So we're being ostracized in our own families, and the weird thing is, this used to happen in the time of the Prophet ﷺ when the family was mushrik and you had become Muslim. And it's happening in our times when everybody's Muslim. So the one who's trying to implement something of this deen in their life is being ridiculed by their family, and the strange thing is their family is Muslim. Their own family is Muslim and they're still ridiculing them. These are the times in which we live. Wallahi, I see the saddest things sometimes. I see things that are encouraging, and then I see some things that are so saddening. I found a brother, where I come from in New York, he used to hide from his father to come make dhuhr prayer at the masjid. Because if his father found out, he would send him back whatever country he came from, because that's not why we brought you to America. We brought you here to do good in your studies, not to make salat. If you wanted to be a mullah, you should go back home. Right? So he was afraid to come to the masjid because his father thinks it's a bad idea. This is the trend we're setting for our children. Subhanallah. We're afraid many times that our children might learn and start taking the religion too seriously. But there is a flip side to this. Yes, it is possible that our children might become a little extreme in their understanding, because they are kids, they're not mature. So what happens a lot of times is parents don't want their children to learn too much about the religion because they think they might go a little crazy. They might become extremists. The only balance, the only way out of that mess is if the father and the mother, the parents, know the religion better. If they know, if they're knowledgeable in the religion, they can correct the understanding of the child. But if the father and the mother don't have an understanding of religion, how are they going to correct the child? If the child says to you, what about this hadith and what about that ayah, what are you going to say? Don't talk to your father like that. That's all you're going to say. You can't help them. So knowledge is a key. It's something very serious for all of us to consider. It's not just bring your kids to Sunday school and have them learn some things. We have to learn this stuff too. Parents have to learn these things too. And if the kids, if our kids don't see the parents learning anything, they're going to say, they just make me do this because they got to go shopping or something. They don't care about learning this. Because if they cared, they'd be here too. Your kids see this. You don't think they know? They're smarter than we are many times. They're raised in America after all. Right? So they see, and the moment they have the independence to make their own decisions, they won't be here. Because you force them to come. When they don't have to come on their own, they won't show up. So we have to accept these realities and work around them, realize them and face them, inshaAllah ta'ala. The crux and the heart of the khutbah I conclude with, inshaAllah ta'ala. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Isn't it the case that their forefathers didn't understand anything and they weren't guided? And I'm not saying that our forefathers are like that. But I am saying if there's a teaching of our deen versus a tradition that you love and respect, what takes precedence? What in your heart, what you love more will take precedence. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us a real love of this deen that nothing may be able to compete with it. When it comes to making any decisions, we turn وَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. We turn it back to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after they pass a verdict, we find nothing in our hearts. And the last thing I'll tell you, and I conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. You know Allah Azza wa Jal, He swears in the Quran by a lot of His creation. وَالْعَصْرِ وَالْفَجْرِ وَاللَّيْلِ وَالصُّبْحِ وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. He swears by many things, many of His creations. And you know it's very interesting when He swears, Allah Azza wa Jal swears by Himself. You can imagine the difference between when He swears by anything He created, and the difference between that and when He swears by Himself. When does He swear by Himself? بَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He says, no, by your Rabb. He tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, by your Rabb, by your Lord. He swears by Himself. They have no iman. They don't believe. Allah swears about a group of people that they have no iman. Who are these group of people? حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They have no iman until they make you, meaning the Prophet, even until they make Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make the decisions between anything that comes up between them. Any issue that comes up, who should decide the matter? Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until that happens, they have no iman. They could say Muhammad Rasulullah all they want, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They could go to Hajj. They could say sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they hear their name. They could do whatever they want. But if they don't let you become the decider, the ultimate decision maker for everything that comes up between them, Allah swears by Himself, they have no iman. And then when you hear the verdict of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ثُمَّ لَا يَجْدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتُ, then they find nothing in their hearts that makes them uncomfortable about what you decided. This is what Allah's Messenger says. Oh, I don't like it. I think we should, you know, we don't have to be that strict followers, etc., etc. I'm not comfortable with that opinion. If you find any discomfort with the declaration of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, still Allah says you have no iman. May Allah protect us from that. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they give in to the Messenger's word in complete submission. They give in to the Sunnah. They give in to the revelation, completely, you know, in submission. Like an army, the general says go, you go, yeah, I'm not so sure I want to go. It's kind of hot out there. You don't do that. You are in complete control of the general. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been given this status in the Quran, that if any one of us who claims to be a believer, when we take any of his commandments, any of his legacies, any of his instructions lightly, or we find it illogical, or we find room to criticize it, Allah swears by Himself that we don't have iman. Imagine, Allah swears by Himself that we don't have iman. This is a serious matter. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the real ikram, the real respect and regard for our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and put a love of the Messenger, his Sunnah, and the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal in our hearts sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us and our families from all the pressures and all the tribulations and all the fitan that surround us. May Allah Azza wa Jal especially protect our young children and our youth that are in high school and college and face things that the older generation never faced. May Allah protect them in the face of fahsha. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect them in the face of all the corruption that's available to them so easily on the internet, so easily on the television, so easily on their iPods. May Allah Azza wa Jal raise from among them a righteous, upright ummah that will call to this deen and give the light of Islam to this land. Barakallahu li wa lakum. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله, اتقوا الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر, ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة, إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. Sheikh, leave it now.
No, no way. He's not doing it. No, I'm not going to listen to you. Sorry.
أقرأكم. أقرأكم.
There's no way.
استقيم ويرحمكم الله. If you have cell phones, please turn them off. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله، والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العقاب. إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا ورأوا العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب. وقال الذين اتبعوا لو أن لنا كرة فنتبرأ منهم كما تبرأوا منا. كذلك يريهم الله أعمالهم حسرات عليهم وما هم بخارجين من النار. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.